Welcome, everybody, to the Aaron's High Cap Adventure Radio Program. Today is February 3rd, 2018, and we're here live for the next 2 hours, and it's going to be a great show. We've got a lot going on. And ladies and gentlemen, as I always tell you every week, I don't start my day unless I start it with a cup of fresh Joe from CEFCO Hilltop here in Cameron. It tastes the same every time. They got them in different sizes. And if you go to the Hilltop CEFCO in Cameron, they've got a special going on. Good Eats sandwiches. You buy one, you get one free. So you can't beat that. Get your camera, your smoke, your paper, and some food, and you'll be set for the rest of the day. CEFCO Hilltop in Cameron. Now, ladies and gentlemen, we are simulcasting today. KMIL 105.1 FM right here in Cameron, and also in Rockdale at KRXT 98.5. So all you Rockdalonians, is that how you say it, Trey? Welcome to the show.
I'm from Cameron. I say something completely
different. Okay, we'll keep that quiet, though. If you want to be part of the show, the number here is 254-697-6633. Give me an email at aaronsgunshop@gmail.com. Go to the website, aaronsgunshop.com, and check out all that there is there on the website. If you go there, be sure to go to Facebook. Like us on Facebook. Let's get the numbers up. That's how you can help to contribute to the show. Get the numbers up. Become a subscriber to the YouTube channel at Aaron's Gun Shop. Tons of videos, demonstrations, talks with the attorneys, demonstrations by Master Cindy Key, special guests, the whole work. So check them out. Lots of stuff going on. Today's show highlights. Today, three true stories of self-defense from the Concealed Carry magazine and two stories from the local area. So let's see what we can learn from these stories so hopefully it never happens to us. Attorney extraordinaire Benton Ross Watson is going to be with us today talking statistics when it comes to gun crime. It may surprise you and me when we hear the numbers and how they relate. In my topic of interest segment, I'll go over upcoming events with Aaron's and how you can get involved. There's always something fun and informative going on at Aaron's, so check it out. Then, to close up the 10 o'clock hour, we have the delicious Janae Goodman, who will deliver us another tactical snacking segment. This week, Janae is first in goal, so cheer her on as she talks super snacks for the Super Bowl. That was pretty good, wasn't it?
Yeah, that's pretty good.
I like that. No groans
much,
from that.
Much better than super and stupid.
Yeah, okay. Well, I'm trying. At 11 o'clock, the voice of law enforcement, retired police chief Randy Dixon, the man of manners, the communicator of common sense, the epitome of encyclopedia and all-around good guy. Randy Dixon is the voice of law enforcement. Today's product spotlight, sponsored by ANC Firearms and Heidenhammer, is military surplus weapons, the Romanian Tokarov TT-33. This gun is light on the budget but devastating in its effects. Go to aaronsgunshop.com, check out the Facebook page to see me holding it there in the picture. And then call ANC Firearms at 254-983-4417 to order yours. My special guest today will be myself. Nobody wanted to play this week, so I'm going to be talking about dominance, your eyes, driving, and bulls. Say what? You'll find out at around 11:30. Then to close up the show, we're going to replay a segment from Master Cindy Key, owner of Central Texas Martial Arts Academy in Rockdale, since unfortunately she can't be with us today. So crank up the volume, strap yourself in, and get your note-taking materials ready, because we are starting the show as of now, and we're going to start it with true stories. And this week it comes out of the Concealed Carry magazine. Last week it was that way as well. I got three more stories. Actually, I got four stories and two local. Story number one reads as follows. Nevada convenience store clerk fights off two armed robbers. When two armed and masked men barged into the Las Vegas convenience store at about 1 a.m. and demanded money, the clerk on duty was ready. He drew a pistol he wore on his belt and fired into the duo. The robbers returned fire before fleeing in separate directions. No one was injured in the gunfight that ended in the unsuccessful robbery attempt. My expert commentary. Ladies and gentlemen, the store clerk was prepared by having a weapon on him that was quite accessible, quickly accessible. The store clerk had the bravery to draw his weapon and fire at the two robbers. However, he missed. This is a perfect illustration of how going to a license to carry class and getting your license is not enough. You must train. All the clerk's preparedness may have been for naught had the situation ended differently. One great way to get some training is by doing the Aaron's Gun Shop round robin competition, and I'll talk about that more later. That's story number one. Story number two. Illinois homeowner holds daylight home invader for police. Isn't that nice? A Creston man heard strange noises early one afternoon in his home. Going to investigate, With what? A pistol in hand, just in case. The homeowner found an unknown male had forced his way into the home. The homeowner held the burglar at gunpoint until police arrived to take him into custody. My commentary. Now, ladies and gentlemen, it's obvious to me that the people in Illinois listens to the show. The man was picture perfect in his action. Most importantly, he went and got his gun first. And that's what we teach. Get the gun first before you go to investigate. Story number three. Minnesota cell phone store clerk defends against armed robbers. An Inver Grove Heights cell phone store clerk was in the rear of the store when he was approached by two men. As one of the robbers held a gun on him, the clerk, who was legally armed, drew his pistol and fired on the suspects, hitting one and causing the other to flee with some cell phones. My commentary to that one. The store clerk in this story must have done the Aaron's Gun Shop round robin competition because he actually hit his target. You see how it progressively goes? You shoot and miss. You shoot and maybe hit one or wound somebody. And this one, it just progressively gets better.
It's like you always say, training, training, training.
That's right, brother. Training, training, training. Can't get enough. Story number four. California homeowner shoots home invader. When an intruder forced his way into their Escondido home early one morning, a father took up a rifle and shot the man to defend his wife and two teenage daughters. Whoa. The wounded burglar was then barricaded himself in the master bedroom. Responding police evacuated the family from the home and then talked the wounded suspect into peacefully surrendering. Now, exactly. Now, ladies and gentlemen, not all criminals are completely stupid. This guy was smart enough to get away from daddy because daddy was about to give him some more lead. You jack with his daughters. I mean, yeah, the wife, but you start messing with daddy's daughters, you got challenges. Now, I've got two local ones here. I read out of the paper. Now, how do you like this? Remember I showed that article a week or two ago about first homicide in 2018. It's like they were bragging about it. Well, a year's second homicide reported. Temple Police Department was investigating Wednesday the second local homicide in 2018 that resulted from a home invasion. Currently, what occurred is being called a burglary of a habitation with the intent to commit an assault, and a murder occurred during the commission of a burglary, Temple Police Department said. Although he and his wife didn't hear gunshots, Robert Hills said that said they were told the door was kicked in, a woman was shot and killed, and a man was shot. The Hills moved to Temple about 2 months ago from Southern California. Welcome to Texas. Okay. That's how it goes here, man. Got to get a gun. Be prepared. Second story, robbery at knife. This is for you ladies out there and all you men who carry purses. Robbery at knife point. Young boy allegedly steals woman's purse. I'm just going to read one sentence out of this, and it says this. The victim gave her purse to the boy, and then he ran away. If you have your gun in your purse, that's what can happen. It can get stolen, detached from your body, or somebody can come up to you at knife point and take your purse. If it was on you, you can say, yeah, here's my purse, and here's this too, as you pull out your weapon from your holster. All right, those are the stories in real life. And as always, ladies and gentlemen, I'm not going to let you down. This week as well, I have an opinion. Okay, may not mean much, but I have an opinion. And today's opinion piece is titled, on a scale from 1 to 10, and if you're looking at me in the video later on, you're going to notice that I'm way above a 10. But anyway, here we go. Ladies and gentlemen, when carrying a gun for self-defense, what are you on a scale from 1 to 10? Are you a 1? Someone who thinks they only need a gun when they think there might be danger? Are you a 10? A person who doesn't leave home without it? Or are you someone in between those two points? Is there a correct number? Well, actually, there are two correct numbers. 0 and 10. How can 0 be a correct number, you ask? Simple. Because if you're not a 10, you might as well leave the gun at home. Do you have a crystal ball? Can you foresee the future? Do you know when, where, and how you're going to be assaulted? That's why you can pick some other number other than a 10? Don't be naive to the fact that the bad guy chooses the time of the assault, not you. The world we live in today demands a gun. Now, I spoke last week of the randomness of violence. Wouldn't it suck for you if randomness knocked on your front door and there you are with no gun in sight? A gun, any gun, whether a 22 short or a 50 action express, could balance the scale and even tip it to your favor in a self-defense scenario. The presence of the gun may be all it needs, all you need to end the threatening situation. But most of you have your head up your iPhones or have some type of elitist attitude that makes you feel a situation can never happen to you, or you're just freaking clueless. I can't tell you how many people I talk to that just don't have a clue to the potential threats that are out there. And yes, I spoke of the randomness of violence. But what I didn't mention was that it's random because in most cases, people are somewhat aware of their surroundings. Go ahead. Be someone not paying attention. The odds of you getting assaulted just multiplied. The bad guy wants a victim, not a hassle. So if you're not paying attention, don't have a gun, and don't have a clue, you're prime pickings for an assault. My gosh, just standing and talking and looking observant is a threat to a criminal. But sometimes that's not enough. Sometimes a gun is a necessary tool. Walking around with the attitude of, I'll pick and choose when assault will happen to me, is a terrible way to pick a number on a scale from 1 to 10. In your host's humble opinion, be a 10 and have a mindset to go with it. Because any other number just doesn't add up. Ladies and gentlemen, we're going to take a break, and when we come back on the other side, we hopefully will have attorney extraordinaire Benton Ross Watson with us to go over statistics, and if not, we'll figure something out. See you on the other side. This segment of Aaron's High Cap Adventure Radio program is being brought to you by Twin Pistol Bail Bonds, LLC. Have you been arrested? Are you in jail and want to get out? Call Twin Pistol Bail Bonds at 254-697-6035. Twin Pistol Bail Bonds accepts credit cards and debit cards. Call-ins are also accepted. Conduct your business privately in the Twin Pistol Bail Bonds offices, which are located directly across from the Milam County Sheriff's Office at 707 West 4th Street in Cameron. You're in jail and you want to get out. Let Twin Pistol Bail Bonds help. Call Twin Pistol Bail Bonds now at 254-697-6035 and ask for Dustin Thomas or Lisa Roden. Twin Pistol Bail Bonds, 254-697-6035. Aaron's Gun Shop and High Cap Adventures. If you've decided to carry a handgun for self-defense, you better know what you're doing. If you don't, you better learn fast. Not only fast, but thoroughly. Aaron's Gun Shop and High Cap Adventures fills the void between a Johnny wannabe and a person who has been properly trained in the proper handling and use of a firearm. Call me, Matt Bitros, at 254-697-4721 or email me at aaronsgunshop@gmail.com and set up a class or seminar to get you started on the road to proficiency with a firearm for self-defense. Go to our website, aaronsgunshop.com, and review the High Cap Adventures page. We have seminars to cover most forms of firearms training. Call 254-697-4721 or email me at aaronsgunshop@gmail.com to get more information on how to get started with your training. The time for games is over. Reality starts now. AaronsGunshop.com.
Arch Coons, the owner of ANC Firearms in Heidenhammer, Texas, is an avid gun enthusiast and enjoys helping all of his customers to find the gun that's perfect for them. With a large selection of pistols, rifles, and shotguns, finding the right gun becomes easy. Go to ANC Firearms, located at 5819 U.S. Highway 190 in Heidenhammer, or call them 254-983-4417. Pistols, rifles, shotguns, ammo, knives, and a whole lot more. ANC Firearms, 254-983-4417.
Capolino Dodd Krebs Law Firm focuses on cases involving asbestos exposure, mesothelioma, birth trauma, defective products, and injury and death resulting from car and truck wrecks. Call the tough, experienced injury attorneys at Capolino Dodd Krebs Law Firm in Cameron. Call 888-MESO-FIRM or 254-697-4965.
That's right, ladies and gentlemen. We are back. Today is February 3rd, 2018. And to my left sits the extraordinary attorney, Benton Ross Watson. Ross, welcome to the show again. Obviously, this segment is sponsored by Coppolino Dodd Krebs Law Firm, and we are just so thankful to have them and you here to share words of wisdom when it comes to the legal aspects of things. And I think what we're talking about statistics today, ladies and gentlemen, if you want to be part of the show, the number is 254-697-6633. And now, Ross, I know there's a whole bunch of numbers out there. However, I don't flip the pages and look at the numbers, but you fortunately have done that for us. Give us an idea of all the different types of numbers out there. Some of them I'm sure will look good, and some of them will look bad, but go ahead.
Well, I mean, I've always looked at the numbers, but there's no reason to try to talk about the numbers because you can't quantify, right, a lot of things that happen. And you go on the media and you just get it from all sides. And I mean, sometimes I feel like the NRA blows it out of proportion.
I agree.
But a lot of times I feel like, God, the media? Violence, whatever, the VPC or whatever they're called. Man, it's just like, that's obviously not true. I mean, I think that I saw a statistic the other day that talked about there being like 240 something justifiable, right, self-defense killings in America. And I'm looking at the Texas statistics today, and there was almost 100 just in Texas. And so that's solely based on, right, what the police reported. And so that's based on the police officer's conclusion. So before we get into that, I wanted to point out like a really interesting one that I saw. It has nothing to do with guns. I thought this blew me away.
I don't think
everybody knows this, so I want to say this. There was almost $2 trillion. $2 trillion.
How much
property?
How much was it?
$2 trillion. Isn't that crazy? $1,945,000,000.
Explain what that number goes to.
This goes to currency, notes, jewelry, precious metals, clothes and furs, and locally stolen motor vehicles, office equipment, television, radios, stereos, firearms, household goods, consumable goods, livestock.
Breathe.
All this stuff. And then what's the most concerning, I think, is I was reading on here. I don't know why I didn't. I don't know if I've seen this before, or maybe I should have already known this, but it's only like 15% of those are cleared. I mean, there's not very many of these.
So crime does pay.
Yeah.
Crime does pay.
As I said, I'm in the wrong business. But then I was thinking, how many of those are really insurance fraud?
Wow, that's another statistic, isn't it?
So, we got to, we could go do the comparison. But, and there was a couple of things here. I would think that, so there's one larceny theft, according to the DPS. I'm on the DPS. There's one larceny theft every 57 seconds. There's one motor vehicle theft every 8 minutes. There's one property crime every 41 seconds. There's one violent crime every 4 minutes. Okay, and so that violent crime is going to include some kind of confrontation. And so I think that really too speaks to the statistics about self-defense, because a lot of these, the only thing that's required to be reported as far as one weapon, well, when you're talking about what the police officers report, are going to be your homicides. Okay, so if it's not a homicide, they can list several different circumstances. They can list several different weapons. They can put unknown, as well as that. Those don't necessarily even have to get reported. Okay, and so they're supposed to, but they don't. I mean, it's not as big of a deal. And so we can have these situations where it's a non-homicide case. Somebody's assaulted or something goes on, and there was a use of self-defense, and that's never reported.
Okay.
Does that make sense? And so these statistics are only taken into account.
Yeah, but here's
when somebody's dead.
Doesn't that make also a difference, the population that they're going, like the state of Texas has a certain population. And then if you put those numbers into that population, I'm not trying to downplay it, but it may not seem as bad as if you had these same numbers in a population that was half the size.
You know, like per capita.
Man. Yeah, whatever. Like however they deem it.
Right, it's like percentage-wise on a scale.
Because if you go to what Rogers and they got how many people?
Right,
1,000 people, and you got numbers like that. Don't move to Rogers. But that's not the case. We're talking about the whole state of Texas here, right?
Right. No. Yeah, we're talking about the whole state of Texas.
I have no idea how many there are. There's what, about 4 million in Houston alone?
There's a bunch of folks. Yeah.
Okay, that's a lot.
So I mean, I think too, I was trying to say, like, if that never gets reported. And so, I mean, there was a, I think I read a study from the CDC. It was came out in like 2012, and the president, I think, authorized it. I mean, they said that self-defense, knowing how to use gun use, can you know, end up in a lot less injury to the victim, right? He ends up in a lot better situation when he knows how to use a handgun.
Sure, absolutely.
Okay, and so as opposed to not, and they had statistics to back that up. And so, I mean, it's just like anything else. And then I think that's
when Aaron's gun shop in mind, you know. Just come on.
that's when everything kind of.
Did you like your class, by the way, last week?
Oh man, it was great.
That's awesome.
It'd be pretty good, man. Really? I don't want to ask what my score was on the test. I'm sure.
Pass or fail. It's pass or fail. You passed. Okay.
Man, I haven't taken a time test, I think, since law school, man. I'm something else. But when you look at these things, I think there was a couple. There was an increase in violent crime in Texas. There was between 10% and 12% increase in the murder rate, but there was an increase in the justifiable self defense.
I gotta ask.
I was saying it was like 100 people.
I gotta throw this in the mix since you brought that up. Okay. Since it was an increase, you know, the big thing is the immigration, illegal aliens coming across, and that there's a lot of crime and some murders because of the influx of them. How does that fall into the numbers?
Man, I'm not going to touch that with it.
No, I understand, but wouldn't that make a play in the numbers? Though?
I mean, I don't even know. I mean, but again, how do you quantify this? I mean, how are you going to measure this?
I don't know.
How are you going to? I mean, yeah.
I want.
It's easy to say both. It's easy to say that there's a jump in this. They're saying that there's these number of murders. Okay, so they're saying this was an unlawful
killing. But people have a tendency to look at the number as one big number, and they don't take into consideration gang wars, bad people in general. When it breaks down to the normal person, the good person, it doesn't usually happen. Of course, it's always going to happen in every aspect of life, but the numbers, I'm sure, get greatly reduced in that aspect of life as compared to gang members, street fights, the whole works.
Oh, no. If you look at the statistics, and I maybe I should have got this one out. I didn't even think about it. But if you look at the number of assaults, like with other weapons that don't end up in death, you're talking way more than what you would have with a firearm. And I may have...
That's what I was trying to get across. It appears, or it sounds like it's really bad, but if you take all the different statistics against it, it really ends up being where not that much happens with the guns if you consider those different topics, like they're gangs. Of course gangs are going to do it. Of course criminals are going to do it. But when you have a normal law-abiding person, the numbers are low, so why do you have why does the law get affected to a law-abiding citizen to be more restricted? It's crazy.
See, when you're talking about the FBI statistics, I mean, for assault offenses, in homicide, there was 3,000... There's like 3,600 firearms used, okay, versus like 1,700 other weapons this is not the mandatory crime reporting for across. This was their standard voluntary reporting, so it's not all across. It's kind of like from different portions of the United States, but it's kind of a representative number. And so out of these cases, like 3,600 weapons were used in homicide, and 1,700 were used were not weapons. But when you look at when you go to look at the number of assaults that there were, okay, it's like 42,000,
yeah, yeah.
Okay, and 705,000, okay, versus, you know, 70,000 in firearms. Okay, so you can't. There's a big difference in what we see as far as who gets killed, and that's what I'm saying. There's so many times that a firearm is used for self-defense purposes where somebody doesn't get killed. And that's, in fact, that's most times. Most people don't die in a self-defense case. Okay? In a self-defense case from the criminal standpoint, plus a self-defense point from a victim.
Well, from all the stories I read, I have to back you up. They either miss or they wing
them.
Right,
they wing them, they run off. They subdue them in some other kind of way after the fire, or, you know, through a verbal command. Right. It's like most of these cases, nobody's dying. So when you see stuff like saying, "Well, there, you know, all these people get killed," that's not you're missing
But they
the
use
the vast
that.
Majority of cases are that is not the vast. Here's another thing that really irritates me. Here's another thing that irritates me. They're only saying, what, like 300 million firearms?
A lot, yeah.
Okay, and then they're saying we have this many firearms versus all these other countries, and then, you know, we have all these firearms, but yet it makes no difference. We don't have as many justifiable self-defense uses. And they make all these claims, but I can name like three people right now that I know that own between 30 and 50 guns. My point is, it's not like every... Most households do not have a firearm, I think, in my opinion.
Well, they must not live in Texas, then.
Well, I'm talking about, yeah, I'm talking about representatives across the United States.
Okay.
Okay, I think, you know, we're talking about for a household, there's a lot of people out there that own about 5 to 10 guns in their house.
Right.
Mm-hmm. It's like pets, right? Like, a lot of dog owners are going to have more than one dog, or a lot of cat owners are going to have more than one cat. So
you got an AR laying there, and all of a sudden has a litter of, you know, AR pistol.
Do you see what I'm saying?
Yeah. Yeah, I get it. I totally understand.
So it's not like everybody's got guns here. Most people don't, I feel like.
Ladies and gentlemen, the reason I wanted Ross to talk about statistics is because you always hear on the media and the news, gun statistics is like the Bible, okay? Somebody reads it and can pull two or three verses together and come up with some cockamamie thought process or belief and make it sound legit. It's the same thing with statistics on guns. Anybody want to push an agenda, they can find enough stats to make it work in their favor. And what I want to do is say, no, let's break it down to its basic element. Like the Bible, all these different religions, they come from one source, and they break off and branch off because they don't like what they were listening. And somebody takes all these basic one source of information, and they don't like it here, don't like it there, and they twist and they come up with all these different groups and anti-gun people and all that kind of stuff. That's why I wanted John here to kind of explain and show how it can be twisted and manipulated.
Well, I do. Maybe it's, you know, just for people, I kind of put together a little thing. I was not really, I got kind of excited about just factual kind of circumstances. I think it's kind of neat. About 1,218,000 assaults happened in this representative, right? The survey, kind of the summary that the FBI takes from around these to these representative police departments, and it was about 1,218,000 assaults. Okay, so in about 700,000 of these, the person knew who it was, but it was not a family member, and in 108,000 of the rest of the cases, it was a stranger. So, and then out of those, we can go down here.
It doesn't pay to know anybody then. You get more. You got more of a chance of getting assaulted by somebody. You
yeah,
know
yeah. If you know somebody, you know, right? They take advantage of.
That's
it, right?
Why I should become a loner.
And so then if you look too at the times, I thought that these were kind of neat because most assaults occur between 8 and 9 p.m. It increases steadily from about 4 o'clock in the afternoon, right?
Happy hour
to 9 p.m. And then all of a sudden it starts going down, and then about 12 to 1, you just get this spike. You just hit this spike of assaults, right? And then all of a sudden it just dies. And so I mean, I look back on some of my Saturday nights, and I was like, yeah, I can see that. You know,
yeah, it makes total sense to me.
but then I would say that everywhere that you might think, you know, are risky places to go, and Rick was talking about this about two shows ago, perception of threat.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
So your residence, and almost across the board, your residence is the most dangerous place to be. No doubt, right? So, I mean, hands down, most things are happening bad to people in their own house, okay? And a lot of that has to do with the family violence aspect of it, okay? But we're talking about strangers here, too,
mm-hmm.
okay? And we're talking about rape and kidnapping stuff, which I didn't name the statistic on that, but those are a lot, okay, in the residence. Okay, so, but other than the residence, highway, road, alley, parking lot, school, restaurant, hotel, convenience store. Though, and I mean, we can. They've got a list of 50 or more, right? But all the places you would think that it's a little shady, right? I think, you know, that verifies it because it is. It's those places: residence, highway, road, alley, parking lot, school, hotel, restaurant, convenience store, and well, for rape, the doctor's office. So
wow.
Yeah, and so...
Well, we heard about that medical doctor.
Yeah. So I was thinking, man...
Me too.
I guess that makes sense, but I guess I didn't think it was that prevalent.
You're looking at me funny, Trey. Did you hear about that story? Yeah.
Nassar?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Wow.
Did you hear about the dad in the courtroom?
No.
He tried to get to it.
Uh-oh. Don't mess with this girl, man.
No way.
Yeah.
I'm so blessed. I'm so blessed not to have a daughter. I swear. I'd be in jail today.
I can't blame him that much for it, though. I mean...
Huh.
All right. What else you got?
I was thinking, for kidnapping is pretty consistent, from 7 p.m. to midnight and like kind of from, all across the day. But I think that the two biggest times to be worried about is midnight and 6 o'clock. Midnight and 6 o'clock and then maybe noon. Are the three times to be on the lookout. And I thought,
Dead space. Sorry. What are we looking at?
We got,
he's got a whole, he's looking at his computer.
Yeah, no. And then for
that's
rape,
what you call Phil.
So then for rape, for the overwhelming number, they occur from midnight to 1 a.m. obviously, but there was something strange about the sexual assault cases, which was a lot of them happened during the noontime. Right? There's so many of these rape cases and sexual assault cases that look like they're happening at work. I mean,
maybe they're on a lunch date.
You know? I mean, from ten to one.
You know, actually, to be honest with you, this is great information.
Right.
Because
right.
if you take this statistical information, let's just stick with the women for now, okay? Because yeah, I have a protective nature.
That's what I thought.
Women.
That's what I was saying.
If you've got all these different times, you can eliminate or reduce the risk based on statistics of an assault, a rape, a murder, a robbery, some type of deal based on the times that it's bad. So don't
right,
go.
Right.
In, so
and
go,
that's why I was saying this. It's good for people to know. Yes, those areas, you know, mm-hmm. you do be on your P's and Q's, so to speak, when you're in that area, as well as like during those time frames. I mean, because if you go look at the numbers across the nation, it's like you're like, I mean, wow, like this many happened during this time frame at this point and area between these people, and obviously, men from you know 24 to 30 are extremely dangerous.
So now, what a smart criminal is going to do? He's going to look. He's going to look at the statistics and say, "Okay, a smart person is going to look at these statistics and say, I'm going to go at these downtimes." And now you're going to have a breed of smart, intelligent criminals who are going to go out there at those times and start causing problems. It's crazy.
Hope not.
That's why Aaron's Gun Shop. Get your license to carry. Do some self defense training. Be squared away and don't carry your gun in your purse. Keep going. What do you got? What else?
I mean, I thought you had some questions for me. Now.
The questions I had was the breakdown of the statistics, because I've got this article here. It's called Gun-Free Zones Are Targets, and I call them Victim Disarmament Zones. And this story was basically saying, this is from America First website here, but the author was basically saying that you all hear about bad news when it comes to gun, but if you heard about some good things, it might change the perspective of the attitude towards guns and just make it look better, the reason to have a gun. So let me give you an example here. He was saying, the media also tends to report bad things that happen with guns. Even mass public shootings that have been stopped by concealed handgun permits don't get much local news coverage. Here are some recent cases that got no national news coverage, but which is covered in the book. So let me read a couple. This is Lyman, South Carolina, June 30, 2016. 32-year-old Jody Ray Thompson started shooting at others in a nightclub. The shooter had shot three people and nearly shot a fourth person when a permit holder shot back, wounding Thompson, according to Fox 5, blah, 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 blah. The other one is Conyers, Georgia, May 31st, 2015. A permit holder returned fire after a shooter killed two people at a convenience store. The attacker retreated from the store, and the sheriff says, without him, I believe more people would have died. New Holland, South Carolina, May 5th, 2015. A man firing his gun approached a volunteer fire department parking lot full of children and firefighters. Two permit holders stopped the attacker. Local TV station said most likely that licensed to carry person stopped the deaths of children and firefighters.
Yes, I mean, but none of that gets reported.
That's what I'm saying.
None of that.
So when they promote these statistics that everything's bad, 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 if they heard that, yes, there was an incident with a gun, but it was used to defend and stop a crime, they'd have a different attitude.
And then if something happens spur of the moment, right, you catch somebody in an act and you pull your weapon and all of a sudden they run away, but nothing actually transpired, I don't think most people are going to call the police. Does that make sense?
It makes sense. They should.
They probably should, but my experience is people don't call the police.
Well, I ask questions because
it's a no-brainer. So
I'm told by people in the know who say that basically when something like that happens and you use a penal code 904, which is threat is justifiable force, and you show the weapon to say that, hey, I can defend myself if necessary, and the bad guy runs off, the odds say that the bad guy's calling 911 saying, hey, some dude just pulled a gun on me. So while he's on the phone and you're calling up, you're on the phones together talking to two different people. So you better get your story in there first.
What are they gonna say? Why were they there? Why were they there? What were they doing?
Just telling you the stats.
And then when I'm gone, what are they, I mean, who's gonna say I did anything?
All right. How would you, if you were to explain all this, how would you explain it to everybody what they should look for, if you can? When they're reading all these different articles on how guns are bad, what should be their perception on how they look at the articles? What should they be saying to themselves based on all this stuff we're talking about and how numbers can be spliced and diced and mixed up and moved around to make a picture look different than it really is?
One, where are they getting their information? But a lot of these places are pulling stuff from the government sources, so...
Would that be the Bible of statistics? Is the government numbers?
No.
Then where do you say this is hard factual knowledge?
I mean, technically yes, but my opinion is a lot of those numbers are not reported. I mean, we were talking about government work.
Enough said.
I mean that's what I've already talked about. When you talk about race, I love the police officers and stuff like that. And I mean, I don't think any police officer says, "Man, I want to be a cop. I want to go to the academy because I want to do all this paperwork."
That's true. They want to get out there on the street and help.
They want to go out on the street. They want to get in it.
Mm-hmm.
That's why you become a cop. I mean, that's the bottom line. I mean, so they're not. That's why when I talked about the racial profiling documents, I said it's a joke. I mean, it is a joke. It literally is a joke. Like, there's no way to enforce it, and there's never a way to prove it. And they don't have to report. I mean, they're supposed to report it, but they technically don't have to report it. So what do you ever do about it?
So then it's a total farce. Why does it happen? Is it because you've got a group of politicians who make the laws and the regs get overcome by a group of people who feel butthurt and they shouted loud enough where they make a law to appease them, but in reality it doesn't do squat?
Right. And you got to remember who's reporting this. I mean, it is the police officer. I mean, they're busy, dude. I mean, they got stuff to do. They're not going to... And you think about it, too. It's hard. It's hard to even write this down and report a lot of times. You think about, because the reports are going to ask you for the circumstances. And they can report multiple, but it's not as easy as you think. And if you think it's easy, ask a cop what it's like to get cross-examined by me.
Wow. What is it like?
It's not fun. Right? Okay, so I'm gonna take everything. I'm going to say, I wasn't even there. I'm just watching the video, which I can't even see. It's all blurry, and I'm seeing all this stuff you didn't even write down. And write down because it's in the spur of the moment. They're in the heat of the battle. They're just trying to get. I mean, it's not. And so even those reports that get reported are not, in my opinion, as accurate as everybody thinks they are. Okay. So, but even then, right? Again, we're not reporting everything. Not everything's getting reported. Okay, and they don't have to report. Make sure you know what the underlying data is, because I'm telling you, you can manipulate anything. I actually like the data book for CPS and the DFPS. It's very telling, but I have cross-examined CPS workers using those statistics, right? And I was able to twist them myself. Okay, and so, I mean, it's in, and trust me, what I was saying probably wasn't accurate, but I was able to twist those numbers the way I wanted to twist them just to make a point that they couldn't use numbers to try to, expedite a removal, because those numbers can be twisted any way they want to be twisted.
What does that tell you, man? How does that make a person feel when they're going to a courtroom? They're thinking, we always talk about this.
That's why we say that, would you? Oh.
You talk about the personality of the juror, the attitude of the judge, the aggressiveness of the attorney, and the belief and the belief of the person who actually is in that position being defended or prosecuted against to try and convey their belief of what they did to the jury. I mean, you got all these different, then you got the black and white law, which is really black. It's faded gray. So, man, you're going into a courtroom with it's stacked against you.
Yeah, I mean,
they call them agents of the court for a reason.
Sometimes you can take solace in the law.
Is a police officer an agent of the court?
If he's
an attorney is an agent of the court. Agent. Keyword agent. Agent sounds like a salesman going out there getting an insurance policy or
an officer of the court, anyway, whatever that means.
When you look at it that way, I see dollar signs. I see the court system, the legal system is one big freaking dollar sign. That's what I see it. And we're supporting it.
I'm working Cameron, so I can't say much.
All right, look, we got, I don't know, about a minute or so left in this segment. What do you want to go over? I kind of hit a bunch here. I may have cut you short.
I think, too, we got to realize that, hey, as far as the gun sticks are concerned, you're going to have folks that the police officers right there are considering a justified, right, defense, okay? And then we're not still getting reported those that they charge but then give to the DA, and the DA says, hey, I'm not accepting charges. Okay, so we're not getting those. We're also not getting the ones when the DA says, man, this is dumb, but there's a lot of heat. I'm going to present this to the grand jury, and the grand jury, no bills. Okay, we're not getting those. We're also not getting, right, the cases where the grand jury, yeah, they find there's maybe probable cause, right, but then it goes to a jury, and they say that it is justified. Okay, and then we're not getting, right, all of these that we've talked about where it's doesn't end in a homicide or somebody dying, and it's just a straight self-defense that either didn't get called in, like I mentioned, or one that got called in, okay, but not reported as any kind of anything other than an incident. And then you have the ones where it was an assault, but the victim used a gun to reduce damages, but that's not reported either. Okay, and so you have to keep those things in mind.
So, when you hear a story...
All of that.
When you hear a story, listen to it with half an ear, and then go do your homework and make sure you believe what's put out there based on your
own. And I want to say, I'm not saying that the statistics are good or bad. I'm just saying, at this point, I'm kind of like, there's no way for anybody to know. I mean... Really, I think maybe we'll find out as technology gets better, but I think right now both sides really, really just try to blow each other up, and so it's kind of difficult to...
Okay, well, that's honest talk, so let's go. Oh, I'm getting this time signal. Hey, you, Ross, tell everybody how they can hold you.
yeah, here in Cameron, 105 East Main, you can give me a call at 254-605-4140. That's 254-605-4140. You can email me at benton@watson.legal. benton@watson.legal, or just holler at Rick Dodd. I appreciate it.
Coupling the Dodd Craves law firm sponsoring the program or segment. Thanks a lot. We'll see you on the other side.
Capilino Dodd Krebs Law Firm in Cameron focuses on cases involving personal injury litigation, including asbestos exposure and mesothelioma. At Capilino Dodd Krebs Law Firm, you are never treated like a number. Cases are accepted on a contingency basis, so clients do not have to pay out of their pocket. Contact Capilino Dodd Krebs Law Firm in Cameron today. Call 888-MESO-FIRM.
Power. Sometimes you just need more. But what do you do when that yard equipment needs more or just isn't working like it used to? The answer is Cameron's Fall Engine, formerly Cameron Seed Company, where friendly service and quantity work stop at 408 West Bath. They provide all your outdoor power equipment needs. Check out their selection of Echo, Snapper, and Zero Turn Big Dog Mowers. Power through the summer with Cameron's Fall Engine. Call 254-697-3452 or stop in at 408 West Bath.
Arch Coons, the owner of ANC Firearms in Heidenhammer, Texas, is an avid gun enthusiast and enjoys helping all of his customers to find the gun that's perfect for them. With a large selection of pistols, rifles, and shotguns, finding the right gun becomes easy. Go to ANC Firearms, located at 5819 U.S. Highway 190 in Heidenhammer, or call them 254-983-4417. Pistols, rifles, shotguns, ammo, knives, and a whole lot more. ANC Firearms, 254-983-4417.
Aaron's Gun Shop and High Cap Adventures. If you've decided to carry a handgun for self-defense, you better know what you're doing. If you don't, you better learn fast. Not only fast, but thoroughly. Aaron's Gun Shop and High Cap Adventures fills the void between a Johnny wannabe and a person who has been properly trained in the proper handling and use of a firearm. Call me, Matt Beatros, at 254-697-4721 or email me at aaronsgunshop@gmail.com and set up a class or seminar to get you started on the road to proficiency with a firearm for self-defense. Go to our website, aaronsgunshop.com, and review the High Cap Adventures page. We have seminars to cover most forms of firearms training. Call 254-697-4721 or email me at aaronsgunshop@gmail.com to get more information on how to get started with your training. The time for games is over. Reality starts now. aaronsgunshop.com. Everybody, the Aaron's High Cap Adventure Radio Program. Again, it's February 3rd, 2018, and we're live here for the next hour and 10 minutes or so, give or take a few seconds. Our topic of interest section, I'm just going to tell you basically what's coming up in the near future. Next Friday is our next round robin competition, and hopefully by now you all know what it is, but if not, I'm going to tell you anyway. Round robin competition is an excellent way to train yourself on the use of a firearm, not only yours, but someone else's, just in case you've got to pick a firearm up in a fight that's not yours. There's general familiarities when it comes to all different types of handguns, and that's what the round robin teaches. It teaches you the ability to shoot fast, under pressure, with accuracy, and handle somebody's gun that you may not be familiar with. Next Friday, which is always the second Friday of the month, is the round robin competition. If you want to learn how it works, go to aaronsgunshop.com. Go to the homepage, and up at the top there, there's a link. It gives you all the rules. Go to Aaron's Gunshop YouTube channel and check out some of the videos that show people shooting the actual round robin competition. Ladies only. That's going to be the third Friday of the month. Now, actually, I shouldn't say the first Friday of the month is bring a guest night. You bring somebody, and that guest, his range time or her range time is free. That's the first Friday. Second Friday is round robin competitions. Third Friday is ladies only. So if you're dating a girl, guy or gal, I don't know anymore, just whoever, whatever you are, whatever you classify yourself, if you're a woman, you shoot for free that night, okay? Come on down and have a good time. Range time is free. On the 17th of February, I still got slots open for the lovers seminar. That's for the Valentine's Day, home defense and personal self-defense seminar. Couples only, five couples only. It's normally $330 for couple. I'm only charging $250. It's an all-day course, and a barbecue lunch is provided. We go over everything, the whole spectrum here. And if I can find my flyer quick enough, I'll rattle down some of the things that I do in that course. But we're talking about mindset and philosophy, gun safety and handling, reloads, weak hand shooting, point shooting, round robins, room clearing, live fire shooting drills, all sorts of good stuff that you can do with your mate, significant other, or friend when it comes to the couple seminar on February 17th. So give me a call, give me an email at aaronsgunshop@gmail.com if you got any questions, and I'll be more than happy to explain it further. March 9th is our third annual law enforcement benefit shoot-off, round robin shoot-off. And what that basically is, it's teams of five. It can be anybody, any team of five, whether it's law enforcement or people not wearing a badge. You get a group of five people together and you shoot for a department of your choice, whether it be a fire department, law enforcement department, military unit, doesn't matter. Librarians association group, whoever. You got a group of five, get a team together. It's a $100 entry fee. And if you win, the whole kitty goes to your unit, department, club of choice. Okay, it's a lot of fun. It's just an advancement on the round robin competition. It's in a team form. So check it all out. Go to aaronsgunshop.com and take a look at all the pages there. Become a subscriber to the YouTube channel, Aaron's Gun Shop. Like us on Facebook. And always give us positive comments. And what we're going to do now is we're going to bleed into... Trey, you're going to give me a commercial first before Janae? Or are you going to go right into... Janae, why don't you come on over? She wants a commercial. Okay. So let's take a commercial break. And when we come back, we'll have the delicious Janae Goodman talking about all sorts of delicious stuff. See you on the other side. Aaron's Gun Shop and High Cap Adventures. If you've decided to carry a handgun for self-defense, you better know what you're doing. If you don't, you better learn fast. Not only fast, but thoroughly. Aaron's Gun Shop and High Cap Adventures fills the void between a Johnny wannabe and a person who has been properly trained in the proper handling and use of a firearm. Call me, Matt Bitros, at 254-697-4721 or email me at aaronsgunshop@gmail.com and set up a class or seminar to get you started on the road to proficiency with a firearm for self-defense. Go to our website, aaronsgunshop.com, and review the High Cap Adventures page. We have seminars to cover most forms of firearms training. Call 254-697-4721 or email me at aaronsgunshop@gmail.com to get more information on how to get started with your training. The time for games is over. Reality starts now. aaronsgunshop.com.
Tuning into another segment of Tactical Snacking with me, Janae Goodman. Today, I have some Super Bowl weekend tips for you. So regardless of if you're visiting someone's house or making your own spread, these are sure to be a halftime show hit. So let's get into it. Also, don't forget, if you missed my segment on New Year's Munchies, head to thecultivatedclassroom.com where I have audio posted to give you tips and tricks and recipes for wings, jalapeno poppers, fabulous finger foods, and even a couple of homemade cocktails. Marvelous meatballs are super simple for any occasion. Buy them fresh or frozen at your local grocery store, or of course, you can make your own. You can use any combination of ground meat and sauce of your choice, season it as you please, and cut it up with onion, minced garlic, an egg, and fresh breadcrumbs. Those can easily be made by putting sandwich bread in a blender or food processor. I recommend at least one slice of bread for each pound of meat, but once you get all that together, you'll roll it and brown them in a large nonstick skillet before you add in your sauce and cover them. Simmer over medium heat until they're cooked thoroughly, and you can also opt to heat the meatballs in a slow cooker set on high. The reason for the egg and the bread is to actually help with the tenderness and the binding of your meatballs. I highly recommend using frozen or previously cooked meatballs if you decide to go for a slow cooker. Little Smokies or cocktail weenies can also be paired with barbecue sauce and put in a crock pot for a quick meal as well. Why don't you load up for potato skins before the game? You can use russet or Idaho baking potatoes by cutting them in half, microwaving them for a few minutes before scooping out the majority of the pulp, and you'll want to leave about 1/4 to half an amount of the potato flesh. Once you get them all microwaved up, you can clean them, coat them with olive oil, salt, pepper, and paprika, and lay them out on a foil-covered sheet tray. Bake for about 16 minutes at 450 degrees, and make sure to flip them halfway through cooking. Once they're cold, fill them up with butter, cheddar cheese, chopped bacon, scallions, and a dollop of sour cream. And of course, your salt and pepper. This dish is sure to be a touchdown. Tips are crucial to any snack fest. They provide a boost of flavor to even the plainest of sides. Honey mustard for your pretzel bites, hummus for your pita chips, and of course, ranch, the staple of dips. You can make your own homemade ranch dressing with this recipe. All you'll need is half a cup of real mayonnaise, not Miracle Whip, half a cup of sour cream, 1 teaspoon each of minced parsley, dill, and chives, bonus if they're coming out of your herb garden, 1 teaspoon of garlic powder, 1/2 teaspoon of seasoning salt, a dash of pepper, and the juice of 1/4 of a lemon wedge. Or you can use milk if you don't happen to have a lemon. Simply mix all your ingredients in a medium-sized bowl and serve it up with wings, quesadilla, pizza, or, you know, everything else. Guacamole is easy as 1, 2, 3. All you need is 4 to 6 fresh avocados, 2 small ripe tomatoes, 1 small minced onion or red onion, 1 to 2 bunches of chopped cilantro, lime juice, and salt and pepper to taste. If you are looking for a healthy avocado every time, all you need to do is take a look at it. You'll notice a darker color, but that is your first and not only indication on if it is fresh or not. You'll also want to give a look to the navel. If you happen to find an avocado without this cap on it, this one here, you will not want it, and you'll want to take this cap off to make sure that it is green on the inside. If it is not green, that does mean that you will not get the freshest, greenest flesh. If you're watching the video, you can see that I'm bringing my knife to a gun show. But you will get fresh avocado each and every time. That actually made it harder to show your next part, where I actually can show you how to take this seed out. A lot of people make the mistake of trying to stab the avocado. You don't want to do that. That's going to be a quick trip to the emergency room. So you want to use the butt of your knife in order to get this seed out. Firmly, and just give it a twist. Do it one more time. There we go. It comes right out. Once you've got your perfect avocados, mash them up with all your other ingredients. Use a potato masher or a large spoon and serve it up with tortilla chips or fajitas or tacos of your choice. I hope that today I have added to your Super Bowl spread, and I hope that you have fun with all of your festivities and your game tomorrow. If you have any questions for me, make sure to send me an email at tacticalsnacking@yahoo.com, and don't forget to swing by the cultivatedclassroom.com for those additional munchy tips. Make sure to join me next week. I'll have plenty of decadent desserts for you that are sure to please Cupid himself. And be safe out there, and as always, stay hungry, my friends.
Capilino, Dodd, Krebs Law Firm in Cameron focuses on cases involving personal injury litigation, including asbestos exposure and mesothelioma. At Capilino, Dodd, Krebs Law Firm, you are never treated like a number. Cases are accepted on a contingency basis, so clients do not have to pay out of their pocket. Contact Capilino, Dodd, Krebs Law Firm in Cameron today. Call 888-MESO-FIRM.
Arch Coons, the owner of ANC Firearms in Heidenhammer, Texas, is an avid gun enthusiast and enjoys helping all of his customers to find the gun that's perfect for them. With a large selection of pistols, rifles, and shotguns, finding the right gun becomes easy. Go to ANC Firearms, located at 5819 U.S. Highway 190 in Heidenhammer, or call them 254-983-4417. Pistols, rifles, shotguns, ammo, knives, and a whole lot more. ANC Firearms, 254-983-4417.
Aaron's Gun Shop and High Cap Adventures. If you've decided to carry a handgun for self-defense, you better know what you're doing. If you don't, you better learn fast. Not only fast, but thoroughly. Aaron's Gun Shop and High Cap Adventures fills the void between a Johnny wannabe and a person who has been properly trained in the proper handling and use of a firearm. Call me, Matt Beatros, at 254-697-4721, or email me at aaronsgunshop@gmail.com and set up a class or seminar to get you started on the road to proficiency with a firearm for self-defense. Go to our website, aaronsgunshop.com, and review the High Cap Adventures page. We have seminars to cover most forms of firearms training. Call 254-697-4721 or email me at aaronsgunshop@gmail.com to get more information on how to get started with your training. The time for games is over. Reality starts now. aaronsgunshop.com. It is now time for the master of manners, the communicator of common sense, and the epitome of encyclopedia, Officer Randy Dixon, the voice of law enforcement.
Go ahead, Chief.
All right, good morning, everybody out there. A great Saturday morning. Cloudy outside with a little dip in the air. Football weather for sure for a weekend. And by the way, speaking of football, you know, tomorrow is that great day that nobody cares about in Texas, the Super Bowl tomorrow. But if you are going to go to a Super Bowl party, just be smart. You know, there's still a lot of policemen out there, a lot of highway patrolmen that are looking for people drinking and driving. So have a designated driver. You know, last week I told you that we were going to talk about a home invasion and about the a two-part series. Last week I went to laid the groundwork for it, and today I'm going to go into some of the specifics. I never thought when I did this that I would be seeing what I saw. This past week, if you listen to the news account on the TV and the radios, Temple had three home invasions, including one that ended up in a fatality where a homeowner was shot and killed. I don't know the specifics of it. It could have been more things involved. But there's also another one in Temple. And all of these are not in the, and they're scattered about all around town. And then Killeen has had just as many in this last week. So, folks, I'm not a forecaster of ill things to come. But I do know that they are actually, they're happening, and you need to be prepared for it. You know, how do you fortify your home? If you remember last week, we talked about the deed to do it, what could happen, some of the things that happen to people. Today, I want to look at some of the specific things we could do to protect ourselves. And I hope, and I truly, truly hope that everybody wakes up and that they do learn that things do happen around us. Look at the newspaper, look on the radio, look on the internet. You know, and get your guns, get them in your house, go down to the A&C Firearms, go see Matt out at the gun range, learn how to use those weapons. You know, for many years as a police officer, a police chief, I didn't really go out and just encourage people to have guns in their home, mainly because many times I went up to those homes or my officers went up to those homes and we didn't know what we were getting into. But, you know, things have changed, folks. I see so many people, so many instances and so many reports of people breaking into homes during the night when people are sleeping or there with their families. Protect yourself. But just having that weapon in your home does not protect you. Go get it. Go get it trained. Know how to use it. Understand that if you have to use it, you're going to have to use it. Don't go out halfway and say, I'm just going to have it because that'll make me feel better. You know, you can feel better by not living there, but you've got to have something to do to protect yourself. So with that being said, let's look at some things we can do to make our house a little more fortified, a little more safer for us to live in. Education and planning are the key to this, folks. Anyone who's been a victim of home invasion, many times they could have been prevented. And, you know, there is no such law as home invasion. I hope you understand that. Home invasion is nothing more than either robbery or burglary. If you're home and they take it from you, that's robbery. And we look at that under the auspices of the laws that are written in the state of Texas. When you use the word home invasion, it just puts a fear about us. And that's what it is. It should put a fear about us. You know, there's a saying that Christina Yang said one time. She said, sometimes the future changes quickly and completely, and we're only left with the choice of what to do next. We can choose to be afraid of it. We can stand there trembling, not moving, assuming the worst that can happen. Or we can step forward into the unknown and assume that we'll be brilliant and we will fix the problem. Folks, we've got to fix the problem. You got to fix your home. Keep your house, since most home invasions always occur during the hours of darkness, keep your house well lit at night to discourage would-be criminals. Have some kind of motion detector lights around your house if you don't want to leave them on all night. And I'm here to tell you, folks, leaving a high-pressure sodium vapor light on all night, or even a condensate light bulb on all night, is only going to run you less than $1 a month. That's not where your electricity expenses come from. Don't leave heavy objects in the backyard that can be used to throw into your yard. Thrown into your windows so that someone can use that as an entry point. Invest in security cameras if you can. You know, they're really cheap nowadays, folks. The nighttime hours, they're inexpensive. You can go to Walmart, you can go to Sam's, you can go to Home Depot, or you can go to Lowe's. All of us sell home security cameras that are really very, very inexpensive. You can get on the internet for a little bit of nothing nowadays. Have somebody install them for you. or you can spend a lot of money and go to a professional and have them install some of the best there is. In all honesty, the ones you get at your Home Depot, your Lowe's, or Sam's are just as good and do just exactly what you need them to do. You know, those cameras, they not only give you a little bit of security and let you see people outside. And I'll go back to the same thing I talked about here back before Christmas. They make the doorbells now that have the cameras built into them. They have lights above your doors that have cameras built into them. Once again, you can get those at Lowe's or Home Depot. Go invest in them. Make the time. Put those in. That's cheap security. Your life is cheap security if you do that. Make sure your cameras records, though. Make sure they do have a housing. You know, make sure the angles are good where you can see people and you can be seen as far as knowing who's around your house. At least have some type of a system where you can protect yourself in a way that, you know, you can at least help law enforcement if someone does try to get into your house. Use high visible house numbers on your house. This is one thing that I'm telling you that so many people lack in this Central Texas area. You know, you should have at least numbers that are contrasting colors to the house you live in. If you have a white house, you should have black numbers. Or go, and if you have a brown house, you should have white numbers. Put numbers that can easily be seen from the road, at least 4 inches tall. That way, it doesn't take a long time for your law enforcement, even your ambulance or fire, to find your location in case of emergency. Lock your gates when using any type of system around your house. You know, so many people don't have their gates locked. They say, well, I need to go in and out of them. That's true, but if you can go in and out of them, so can the bad guys. So, folks, get you some good padlocks. Lock your doors and keep those gates locked. Plus, if nothing else, get you a couple of big old cowbells down at your local hardware store. Put them on a chain. Padlock those to your gates. That way, when people come in, they're going to make noise. Put them toward the bottom where people don't normally see them on the inside of the gate. At least it'll either run them off or it'll let you know someone's around your house. Those cowbells run less than $5. Invest in things such as, it doesn't have to be expensive. You can do a lot of things that are inexpensive to make yourself have a feeling of better security. And the whole point is to discourage the would-be home invasion person from getting in your house. Now let's look at the trash near your curb. If you have trash, if you throw your trash out by the streets, do me a favor. Put it in trash bags so that it has to be gone through or someone has to literally break it open. Too much of your personal information can be gained there. Too much can be found out about your house. If you get boxes delivered, if you get nice packages delivered, break the cardboard boxes down so they're laying flat. Number one, so that people don't know that you've got something new or what it is you've got new that might be a target that they would want. Or secondly, that someone can get behind and hide. You know, big old TV boxes provide a lot of good coverage if someone's sneaking around your house. Windows, always lock windows. Even your door, second floor windows, if you do that. You know, your windows are something that's really important to be locked. I know this time of year, we have people that like to keep their windows open, and they like to get a lot of good fresh air coming in, especially as we're going to be transitioning to spring here in just a few more weeks. But your windows at nighttime need to be shut and locked. You know, I know we all love that air coming through. But, folks, that's an easy entry into your house. Make sure that you keep the windows locked. Make sure you pull them down. And if you have the time, get a secondary locking device on them. Either put a stick that holds it down, or either go down to the hardware store, spend you 39 cents a window, and you can put a thumb lock on it that provides the same exact security. You know, around this area, we have a lot of things that a lot of people, a lot of houses, some have skylights, some have wind turbines. Most people don't even think about those as being points of entry. Usually they're not, but if you have some on the blind side of your house, make sure that you inspect them once in a while just to make sure they haven't been tampered with. Your doors, your front doors, and this is your front and back doors. This is the most important thing that we could talk about today. Your front and back doors to your house are your 99.9% location where people are going to try to enter your house. Use solid core, good, hard, heavy doors for your outside with deadbolt locks. You know, you can buy a metal skinned front door just as cheap as you can buy a hollow core door. metal skin doors. They're not solid, but they have a metal covering over the wood frame. A lot of times they have small windows in them. And remember, your windows need to be small enough that someone couldn't break without reach in and turn your lock to get in. You know, and your home security, as far as what you look for the inside of your home, get a security alarm system of some kind. It doesn't have to be one that's a $1,000 system. You can buy many of these alarm systems once you get your hardware store, or even just use your car alarm. If you hear somebody that's messing around your house, get your trusty remote control, hit the alarm button, and let it go off for a while. It brings attention, and that attention that is coming hopefully will run the person off to some other target down the street. You know, and we don't want our neighbors to be burglarized or home invaded, but we'd like rather that happen on our own. Let's be honest with each other. You know, and one of my pet peeves, folks, and I'll tell you right now, one of my pet peeves is the fact that we can go up and down streets, whether it's Cameron, Rockdale, Temple, Waco, Killeen, it doesn't make any difference. When you're going down the streets, you can see people with their garage doors wide open. And folks, that is, I realize that it's inconvenient to lower and raise your garage doors. But have you ever thought, especially if it's in the evening hours or at nighttime when you're sleeping, if you leave your door open, someone could get into your house through your garage door. You say, well, I got it locked. Fine. They can put the garage door down, and then they can spend all night trying to break into your house. Keep your garage door pulled down. Keep it locked, even when you're home, which brings up another really good point of issue. God forbid anyone should get into any of y'all's homes and hopefully take advantage of your wife, your girlfriend, or whatever it may be for the sexual assault. But when you're home by yourself, especially if you're home with your kids or whatever, if you know your wife is, they need to keep the doors locked at all times. Even during the daytime hours, you know, it just makes real good sense, safe-wise, to keep your doors locked, you know, because I can go into a house in a split second. They can be in your house and they'll be there where you can't do anything about it. It's important. It's vitally important that you protect yourself. Now, have a plan for your family or roommates in your home in the event of an invasion. You know, talk over before it ever happens. What are you going to do? How are you going to handle it? Is it scary to think about that? Absolutely it is. Consider if you have the money, if you have the ability to consider a safe room of some kind. That's going pretty far. But some people take security so far, they do believe in safe rooms. Keep your cell phones by your bed at all times, along with your phone. Along with your keys to your car. Once again, you can use that key to set an emergency. Your cell phone needs to be there or your landline needs to be there so you can call 911 immediately. If you keep weapons in multiple places, make sure that you put them where you know where they're at and they're not readily seen. There'd be nothing worse than someone who invades your home and to see your weapons and then turn those weapons around on you. Personally, I believe in having a loaded gun next to your bed or inside your bed or under your cover or something, wherever it may be, that you can access it very quickly. And I know that a lot of people think this is the old adage, but get you a dog. Get you one that likes to bark. I've got neighbors' dogs that bark 24/7, so it wouldn't do us any good. But get you a dog that only barks when if something's around your house. It may be an ankle biter, a little chihuahua or something, that when something hears something, they bark. You know, barking dogs, they have a tendency to run people off. You know, and think about that for a moment. You know, then the last couple of things we'll talk about is, you know, your property. We all work hard for a property, what we want to keep. Take a few minutes of your time, and it's going to help you down the road if you ever are burglarized or robbed, to write down the serial numbers and the pertinent information about your most valuable assets that you have in your home. Your most valuable assets, obviously, is yourself, your children, your wife, your husband, whatever it may be. But there are things in there that you want to try to recover or you want to try to get paid for if something does happen. Get you a good camera, photograph it, videotape it, whatever it may be. Photograph the items, then turn that item around and get the serial numbers off the back. Folks, nowadays, the way a lot of insurances are, if you don't have that information down, you're not going to get your money back from them. So make sure that you do write those things down. You know, and I think, folks, it's really important that we don't think about the old adage that it won't happen to me. Look around. Here in Temple has happened. There in Killeen has happened. It's happened in cities all over the place. It only takes a second for someone to get into your home. Only a split second, and that can change your life forever. You know, and I know that there's a lot being said about how you protect yourself, but then there's a lot of things that you can do, a lot of things that we need to do, that we need to think about, that we put off. You can't put off home security. There is just, there's something you can't do. You know, no matter how much planning you do for yourself, one tiny miscalculation or one little distraction can end everything in an instant. There's a lot of bad people out there, folks. You all know there are. There are a lot of bad people that want to take advantage of us. So I'm urging you. I urge you very, very much to think about home security. Look in the newspapers. It's happening now. That's not something that you want to put off. You know, it's not something that you think won't happen to me. You can't put your head, you cannot put your head in the sand and say, it's not for me. Because once again, in the blink of an eye, everything can change. So forgive often, love with all your heart. You never know when you may have not had that chance again. So take care of yourself, take care of your family. And until next Saturday morning, I hope everybody has a great week. And be careful if you watch the Super Bowl and do the right thing. Take care, folks.
Aaron's Gun Shop and High Cap Adventures. If you've decided to carry a handgun for self-defense, you better know what you're doing. If you don't, you better learn fast. Not only fast, but thoroughly. Aaron's Gun Shop and High Cap Adventures fills the void between a Johnny wannabe and a person who has been properly trained in the proper handling and use of a firearm. Call me, Matt Bitros, at 254-697-4721 or email me at aaronsgunshop@gmail.com and set up a class or seminar to get you started on the road to proficiency with a firearm for self-defense. Go to our website, aaronsgunshop.com, and review the High Cap Adventures page. We have seminars to cover most forms of firearms training. Call 254-697-4721 or email me at aaronsgunshop@gmail.com to get more information on how to get started with your training. The time for games is over. Reality starts now. aaronsgunshop.com.
Capilino Dodd Krebs Law Firm in Cameron prides themselves on service, resourcefulness, knowledge of the law, and attention to detail. So if you or a loved one has been injured by someone else's negligence, they can help. Call 888-637-6347 for help today from Capilino Dodd Krebs Law Firm. Capilino Dodd Krebs Law Firm will work as hard for your family as you do. Call 800-460-0606 for Capilino Dodd Krebs.
Arch Coons, the owner of ANC Firearms in Heidenhammer, Texas, is an avid gun enthusiast and enjoys helping all of his customers to find the gun that's perfect for them. With a large selection of pistols, rifles, and shotguns, finding the right gun becomes easy. Go to ANC Firearms, located at 5819 U.S. Highway 190 in Heidenhammer, or call them 254-983-4417. Pistols, rifles, shotguns, ammo, knives, and a whole lot more. ANC Firearms,
24/17. Live. Got about 36 minutes to go, and we're going to be talking about our product spotlight. I'm a little tongue-tied at the moment. It's February 3rd, 2018. If you want to become part of the show, the number here is 254-697-6633. This segment is brought to you by ANC Firearms in Heidenhammer, so call them now to order this awesome pistol I'm going to talk to you about. If you go to aaronsgunshop.com, go to the Facebook page, you'll see a picture of me holding it. It's on Instagram, too. So check that out. But what I liked about it was the military weapons, surplus weapons, governments spend millions of dollars on these things to test them out, make sure they work right, and then they're combat proven, battle proven. So, I mean, you got a fantastic gun here. When the surplus guns come into the market, they can be considerably cheaper than buying a new gun. So I look at them, play with them, and this one in particular is pretty nice. I liked it because the shape of it was more like a Browning design, like a 1911 design, but it had a killer cartridge. And that was the 7.62 by 25 cartridge. So what I did was I pulled up an article off of the AmericanRifleman.org page, and I was looking at Cameron White's article on it, and I broke it down just a little bit. But let me make something clear. There's all different copies and clones of the original Russian Takarov, because we're going to be talking about the Romanian Takarov model TT-33. But there's a lot of copies. They're basically all the same. So this one he wrote about the Chinese Takarov. I'm just knocking out the Chinese words and just giving you the general information of the Takarov. So let me read to you what it is, and we'll take it a little bit further if time permits. This is by Cameron S. White, Takarov Pistols, Military and Commercial Models. The Takarov pistol was the brainchild of Fedor Takarov, a famous Russian small arms designer. Takarov began the process of designing a semi-automatic handgun in the 1920s, and the Soviets adopted one of his early designs in 1930, naming it the TT-30, which was Tula Takarov 30. The TT-30 was simplified and adopted in 1933 as the TT-33, henceforth why it's a TT-33 model. A simple, reliable, and easy-to-maintain pistol, it was in service until the early 1950s, when it was replaced by the Makarov, also known as the Pistol Makarov, or PM. Several Soviet satellite countries, including Poland, Romania, Yugoslavia, and Hungary, adopted pistol styled after the Takarov. And the one I was talking about, the one I'm holding in my hand, is the Romanian version. Takarov pistols are the same in terms of form and function as their counterparts. They are lock-breached, recoil-operated semi-automatics capable of holding 8 rounds. They are essentially a simplified version of the John Browning locked breech design. The pistols are very slender and have a good balance. Their profile is different from many Browning designs because of the sharper grip angle, which gives them a unique appearance. In addition, the hammer is slightly shrouded by the slide. While not a revolutionary design, the guns do have some interesting features. The hammer assembly is particularly well thought out. Not only does the sub-assembly make it easy to inspect the component parts, but the cartridge feed guides are incorporated into its housing, which make feeding more reliable and less reliant on the magazine feed lips. The pistol has a sturdy magazine that can be disassembled without using tools. The stock panels are held in the frame in an ingenious manner using sliding bars that fit into the recesses of the frame, which makes it handy if you have to move them. This is me talking. You don't need a screwdriver. You can use basically anything to lever over the bar inside there to remove the panels. Interestingly, there is no external safety on the military Takarovs. The only safety on military pistols is the half-cock notch on the hammer. The firing pin is not of the inertia type, so it's not safe to carry the hammer down with a round in the chamber. The quality of these pistols in terms of fit and finish is generally excellent, and I can attest to that. The one I've got is just beautiful. All military Takarov pistols are chambered for the 7.62 by 25mm cartridge, also known as the 7.62mm Takarov. It was based on the older 7.63mm Mauser cartridge developed by Hugo Borchardt in 1893. The two cartridges have very similar dimensions, but they are not identical. Apparently, the Soviets originally intended to adopt pistols in the 7.63mm Mauser cartridge in 1929 or 30, but they intentionally dimensioned the cartridge slightly different to be able to utilize the 7.62mm machinery and gauges that were already at use at the time. Okay, so they're taking advantage of what they've got. This simplified Russian arms production, since it enabled the same barrel tooling to be used for the model 1891 Mosin-Nagant rifle, the 1895 Nagant revolver, and the Takarov pistol. The 7.62mm Takarov is a bottleneck cartridge which adds feeding into the chamber. The bullet weighs approximately 85 grains or 86 grains. It is a hard-hitting cartridge that is generally loaded at high velocities, often 1,300 feet per second or higher. The cartridge is noted for being very flat shooting. That's kind of why I liked it. You almost have a rifle and a pistol. You've got a cartridge that's got some serious knockdown power, flat trajectory, good distance, high velocity, and when it hits with a punch. A few of the first pistols imported appear to have military pistols that were converted from commercial sale by changing markings and adding an external safety to the slide of the frame, which is the one that I have, which you're probably going to see on most of them. They have an external safety added onto it because to get in the country, it had to meet certain requirements. But ladies and gentlemen, if you go to ANC Firearms in Heidenhammer, the number is 254-983-4417. Go to the website, aaronsgunshop.com. Go to the Facebook page and look at the picture of me holding it. It's a beautiful gun. The nice thing about it was, in the article it read how the grips are a little bit more vertical than the angle on a 1911. So what you can do, if you're like me, you can buy aftermarket grips specifically designed for that gun to fit and make it feel as though you're gripping onto a 1911. So you get the advancement of the design, the angle design. You get the power of the cartridge 7.62x25 in a battle-proven weapon that's well-made, looks pretty. It's a deep, rich blue after the refinishing of it. It's just an excellent piece for a great price. You can get them for a seriously good price. So if you're looking for a good self-defense handgun or a hunting handgun on a budget, check out the Romanian Takarov TT-33 or any one of its clones. Call ANC Firearms in Heidenhammer at 254-983-4417 and have them order one for you and tell them you heard on the radio. And if you like this show, support the show by supporting them. Mark, my good friend Mark is next to me. You got something to say about that?
Yeah, I was just going to add in that I love the Takarov, or the TT-33. In Special Forces back in Afghanistan, when my team was going out and we were uncovering caches that the Taliban would bury all their weapons so we wouldn't find it. Once we found it, we would find all kinds of Takarovs out there. It was like Merry Christmas time. You know?
Right, yeah.
So we would uncover these, and they were all goofed up. They were all covered in dirt for being buried for so long. But we would clean them up, and we would rebuild them with springs and stuff right out of a ink pen, and we could rebuild them, and we would give them as prizes to our Afghan strike team that was on our side. And they were very valued. They're high trustworthy, very strong pistol. It's excellent, durable as hell.
And if you compare that to some of the newer guns that have a higher price, I mean, some prices are valid on some guns, some prices are just expensive. I don't know why. So if you compare the two and you look at the quality of this one particular gun, the Takarov, I mean, it's just rich. You pick it up, it's like, it's a chunk of steel.
And it's simple operation.
Simple operation, simple breakdown, and it works almost every time you pull the trigger.
High power, it's good to go.
So check it out. ANC Firearms in Heidenhammer, 254-983-4417. I'll tell you what, let's go ahead and take a long break. And when we come back, I don't really have a special guest other than my brother sitting next to me. We're just going to throw some things out there, and we'll play it by ear. So we'll see you on the other side.
Arch Coons, the owner of ANC Firearms in Heidenhammer, Texas, is an avid gun enthusiast and enjoys helping all of his customers to find the gun that's perfect for them. With a large selection of pistols, rifles, and shotguns, finding the right gun becomes easy. Go to ANC Firearms, located at 5819 U.S. Highway 190 in Heidenhammer, or call them 254-983-4417. Pistols, rifles, shotguns, ammo, knives, and a whole lot more. ANC Firearms, 254-983-4417.
Capilino Dodd Krebs Law Firm in Cameron focuses on cases involving personal injury litigation, including asbestos exposure and mesothelioma. At Capilino Dodd Krebs Law Firm, you are never treated like a number. Cases are accepted on a contingency basis, so clients do not have to pay out of their pocket. Contact Capilino Dodd Krebs Law Firm in Cameron today. Call 888-MESO-FIRM.
Aaron's Gun Shop and High Cap Adventures. If you've decided to carry a handgun for self-defense, you better know what you're doing. If you don't, you better learn fast. Not only fast, but thoroughly. Aaron's Gun Shop and High Cap Adventures fills the void between a Johnny wannabe and a person who has been properly trained in the proper handling and use of a firearm. Call me, Matt Bitros, at 254-697-4721 or email me at aaronsgunshop@gmail.com and set up a class or seminar to get you started on the road to proficiency with a firearm for self-defense. Go to our website, aaronsgunshop.com, and review the High Cap Adventures page. We have seminars to cover most forms of firearms training. Call 254-697-4721 or email me at aaronsgunshop@gmail.com to get more information on how to get started with your training. The time for games is over. Reality starts now. AaronsGunshop.com.
Power. Sometimes you just need more.
But what do you do when that yard equipment needs more or just isn't working like it used to? The answer is Cameron's Fall Engine, formerly Cameron Seed Company, where friendly service and quantity work stop it at 408 West Bath. They provide all your outdoor power equipment needs. Check out their selection of Echo, Snapper, and Zero Turn Big Dog mowers. Power through the summer with Cameron's Fall Engine. Call 254-697-3452 or stop in at 408 West Bath.
Central Texas Martial Arts of Rocktail offers martial arts classes Tuesdays and Thursdays between 5:30 p.m. and 7 p.m. in their 1,800 square foot facility, which is located in Rockdale at 973 Highway 77. Learn confidence and control with mind and body at the Central Texas Martial Arts Academy in Rockdale. Call or text Master Cindy Key at 254-721-2775 or just stop by. Central Texas Martial Arts Academy in Rockdale, 254-721-2775.
Welcome back, everybody, to the Anti-Cap Adventure Radio Program. Again, we're here. It's February 3rd, 2018. We got about 25 minutes left in the show. And we're just going to throw some stuff at you here. I've got, well, actually, Mark, let me start with you. Did you have something you wanted to, you stopped on by to say hi? What do you got going on?
Well, I just wanted to stop by to say hi. And also, I want to really push the news about your license to carry class on the 10th of February. I think it is so important that people act responsible with their weapons. I've had a lot of Johnny wannabes try to impress me by showing me that they're carrying their weapon. And then my first question is, are you safe? Are you responsible? Are you licensed to carry that weapon? And they'll say, oh, no. No, I just got it, and I don't know. Maybe there's a class around. I'll find out. I'll get legal. And I say, well, you're illegal right now, and I don't want to know about it. But I know a guy who is a master at the license to carry training.
Who's that? I got to see him. Who?
Well, I think I'm talking to that wildcat right now. You're a freaking thunder god, pal.
Stop.
No, but people, I've been around the world. I've been teaching Africans, people down in South America, Central America, Filipinos, all about small unit tactics, use of weapons, all kinds of things. But Matt, over the 30 years that I've known him, we've trained in all kinds of weapons, and he has always been the very best. Now, when it comes to license to carry, he doesn't just teach you how to pass the certification course. He teaches you all the aspects, the legalities, the posturing, the employment methods, the manipulation. He teaches everything with highest quality. And when you walk out of there, at the end of the day, you have confidence. You know that you've been taught by a master. You've got an indoor range. There's no pressure. There's no manipulation, no intimidation. It's just professional instruction. And if you're going to go and carry a weapon, you have a duty, a responsibility to be licensed, to be responsible, to be a safe weapons owner, and know how to carry it properly. So you're not going to get that anywhere else that I have seen in Texas and in Utah, Las Vegas that I've been at. I've been at a lot of great gun shows and a lot of academies. Matt is the very best at what he does. And that is teaching a license to carry. He'll teach you how to hit a bullseye within an hour. If you've never even picked up a weapon before, he will teach
minutes.
You how to do it safely
15 minutes.
And responsibly. Okay.
Right,
enough
look,
said.
I did not know you were coming in. And I didn't pay you for that. I should have paid you for that. That was pretty
I'll let
nice.
You.
But thank you very much. I appreciate that.
February the 10th,
you embarrassed
2 o'clock.
Me, okay. 2 o'clock.
And $60. If you know people who are carrying weapons out there, talk to them. Try to make them responsible, especially if you have kids and they're packing a weapon around your kids. You want them to be safe.
I'll tell you what, Mark, since you brought up the license to carry, I was going to talk about some certain things here, but I touch on this in the license to carry class. Since you're here, let's talk a little bit, unless you got to go. I wanted to talk to everybody about dominant eye and cross-eyed dominance.
Good idea.
And I'll tell you why. In the class, I ask people, are you left-handed or right-handed? And they'll raise their hands. They'll show me which one's which. And I ask, well, do you have a dominant right eye or a dominant left eye? And they're not really sure what I'm talking about. So let me try to give you a visual based on words here. I'm a left-handed shooter. The gun is in my left hand. I extend it out towards the target, and if I was bullseye shooting, I would close my right eye and use my left eye, because that's my dominant eye, to aim the gun with. However, sometimes it gets cross-eyed dominance. Let's say I'm a left-handed shooter, gun's in my left hand, but when I go to aim the pistol to bullseye shoot, I close my left eye and cock my head over so my right eye is in the line of sight with the sights. Well, you can do that, and that's fine. It's been going on for years, okay? However, it can be a little bit awkward. And in self-defense shooting, it really doesn't apply. So this is, I'm trying to hit a couple points here. One, understand if you are cross-eyed dominant or not. And understand in self-defense shooting, it really doesn't matter because of the importance of shooting with both eyes open. If you shoot with one eye open, you only see half as much. Now, if you're cross-eyed dominant, it's going to make you cock your head over to a weird angle. If you're aiming the gun at a threat, you're wrong. You don't have time. The threat's going to move by the time you aim it. I cannot tell you how many people I see standing in a gun range, in a booth, shooting at a piece of paper, taking entirely too long preparing themselves for self-defense shooting. It doesn't work that way. In a self-defense shoot, in 3 seconds, 5 seconds, up to 30 seconds or 2 minutes, depending on the scenario, the shot has to be made almost instantaneously once you make the decision. There is no room to aim the weapon. So, to get back to the cross-eyed dominance, dominant eye thing. If you can follow me on this, let's play a little game. Look at something in the room. Find anything to look at in the room, a little bit away from you. Let's say just on the other side of the room. And with both eyes open, look at the object. Maintaining both of your eyes open, extend your arms out and make one hand overlap the other just a little bit, and then make a little tiny peephole between the two hands. It's going to be right around the thumb area. With both your eyes open, your arms extended, and your hands in the position I just told you, look through that hole with both your eyes and then bring the backs of your hands towards your face, and your dominant eye will be forced to look through the hole. So even though you got both eyes open, as the hands come to your rear, let's say I'm a left eye dominant individual, and the hands come to my face, and I close one eye at a time to see which end it is, it's going to be the left eye that's looking through the hole. If you're a left-handed shooter and your right eye is looking through the hole, you're a cross-eyed dominant person. If you're a right-handed shooter and your left eye is looking through it, you're a cross-eyed dominant person. Well, fear not, because in self-defense shooting, one-eyed shooting goes out the freaking window. Would you not concur, Mark?
Absolutely. You're going to get tunnel vision, and both eyes are going to be wide open like you see in the horror movies because people are naturally in shock. But you want both eyes open so you have your peripheral vision and you can see the threat approaching from your left or right.
That's right. That's right. So in self-defense shooting, it's going to happen very quickly once the decision's made to draw the weapon. And when it happens, you will not have time to aim. So you got to learn which one is your cross-eyed. Make sure you're not cross-eyed dominant. And if you are cross-eyed dominant, you know how to instantaneously correct it by opening both eyes. Okay, that's the first thing, unless you got something else to add to that. Where you kind of blend it in, both eyes open at the same time, like we said, because you can see twice as much in your peripheral vision. It goes more than 180 degrees. If you're standing and looking directly ahead of you, your left and right isn't really 180 degrees. It goes a little bit past that on either side because I guess because your eyes are kind of round, you get to see a little bit further past 180 degree arc. So both eyes open makes it beneficial to see something coming at oblique angles. Now, bringing the gun up to the line of sight via the ramp and not the pendulum method. Whoa, what did I just say there?
You're going to go bowling with your gun.
That's right. Let me see if I can make this a visual. This will be on the video probably Tuesday, but while you're listening to me on the radio here, let me see if I can explain it. If you're in a self-defense shoot and the gun's got to come out of leather quickly to the threat, or plastic, or kydex, or whatever you're carrying, you're looking at the threat. You're standing somewhat in a tactical stance, a protective combative stance, getting ready for whatever comes at you, okay? And you're looking at the threat with both eyes open. There's an imaginary line that goes from your pupils to whatever it is you're looking at. If you can draw, like in a cartoon, a dotted line going from where your eyes are to what you're actually seeing, you'll see that straight line. Okay. When you put your hand in the weapon properly and draw it out of the holster and bring the gun up into your line of sight, there's two ways to do it. The right way and the wrong way. the wrong way is usually using the pendulum effect. And I was teaching this last night. The pendulum effect is when the gun comes out of the holster. I'm going to try and stand up for the video on this one. See if I can show you. If you hear some noise, it's the mic being moved. All right. As I'm standing up, the gun's in the holster. As it comes up, and here's my line of sight. I'm drawing an imaginary line. The gun comes up like a pendulum. And what happens is, if my line of sight is to my object, and the pendulum effect is, I may have a chance to shoot the gun prior to it being in direct line of sight, or I may overswing the line of sight and shoot too high. That's the pendulum effect, as compared to going up the ramp. So here's the dotted line. Both of my eyes are open. I'm looking at the imaginary object. I got this imaginary dotted line. The gun comes out of my holster. And now, as soon as the muzzle clears the leather, I'm starting to direct it towards the threat. And the arm is coming up the ramp right into my line of sight. So what's going to happen is it's almost impossible. Almost. I say that because it can always happen. But it reduces greatly the chance of you overswinging or shooting too early. The gun is automatically, immediately facing the threat. It's coming up the ramp, and as the ramp ends, it lines up with your line of sight and you're ready to shoot. The other thing too is, if you have to shoot prematurely, at least the gun's in the same direction as the threat and it's pointed straight. The other absolute mandatory without fail condition you must do is know how to hold the gun properly. You got to learn how to hold the gun properly, because if you're using both eyes, interject and tell me one more. If your eyes are open and the gun is in your hand and everything's done right, but the gun is crooked in your hand, doesn't mean squat. Everything else you do, the gun's not going to, the bullet will not go where you're looking at. And if I can explain this, okay, we've got this PA-63, which is hot, so I'm going to clear it. All right, weapon's clear. You'll notice in the video, if the gun is crooked in my hand, I've done this before in videos, you have to check it out again. But if I go up the ramp and point, I'm looking at you, but my gun's pointed over towards the H in the video. You'll see the H on the sign, okay? The gun needs to be straight in my hand, so when it comes out of leather, it's always on the threat. And I'm pointing at myself in the video. That's probably why the gun looks like it's going off on an angle. Mark, what do you got?
Well, I was going to say that once you break leather, as you're coming up with the ramp method that you're talking about, as soon as it breaks leather and you're pointing towards the target, you're at a point of retention, actually. So you're retaining the weapon close to your body where you have positive control and it can't be taken away. You can actually engage your target from that point. If he is closing with you, or if you're closing with the target, then you could pull the trigger right now and still hit him because you're within that range and he cannot take the weapon from you. As you're coming up that ramp, you can engage at any time until you're fully extended. At that point, if he is closing with you and you don't need to have that weapon fully extended, you can still bring it back to a point of retention, block, and reholster if you have to, if you have a jam, and then you can go to other combative techniques.
There you go. It's very clear on the video. I've got a handful of videos that explain this. However, we're doing a hodgepodge here, so you'll have another chance of taking a look at it on the video. Bullseye shooting versus self-defense shooting. A lot of people, when they're just starting out, I mean, they're taught how to bullseye shoot for obvious reasons, because you got to at least hit the paper, and there's basic fundamentals of marksmanship. You've got to know the basic fundamentals. However, when you come to my class for self-defense, I'm not teaching fundamentals. We're utilizing fundamentals that you should already know. So if you don't know those fundamentals, we have a class set for that specifically. But if you're in a licensed to carry class, that's not the time to be learning the fundamentals, because soon after that, you and I both know you're going to race out and go online and fill out your application so you can get your license, and then you can pack heat. We all know it, okay? So don't deny it. And once you get it, if you don't do the follow-up training, you're going to be someone out there with a gun who's a threat to yourself and some innocent individual, and the bad guy most likely is going to walk away from the fight without getting a scratch on him. So you've got to learn the difference between bullseye shooting and self-defense shooting. Bullseye shooting is very step one, two, three. Self-defense shooting is, I already know the numbers, I'm just going to apply it. Yes, sir.
I know you're short on time, but people buy a weapon for protection or for sports. We're talking protection here. So, yes, you have to know the basics, fundamentals of marksmanship, and then get in the right mindset. Because once you get comfortable shooting on paper, now you got to start visualizing that you're doing this for protection. So you're going to start shooting a body to stop the threat. So start getting that mindset going. Start changing from bullseye targets to actually human targets so that you'll be able to respond effectively. Because when you're getting carjacked and a guy is shoving a a gun in your face, you're looking for a bullseye or are you looking for center mass?
Mm-hmm.
You're looking for center mass.
I'll tell you what, I'm trying to figure out a way for somebody who doesn't have the finances or the equipment to help them, aid them in their training. Let me give you a little trick on how you can learn how to point shoot. In the video, you can look at the video later, but I want to try and explain it to you verbally. You know how when you're looking at something and then you go, hey, look at that, and you point at it, you're pointing your index finger and the palm of your hand is facing down? Well, if you do a rotation, a 90-degree rotation with your thumb in the up position, it's as though you put a gun in your hand, okay? So I'm looking at the video. When you go to see it, I'm looking at the bridge of my nose. And I'm saying, hey, look. And then if I just turn my hand with my thumb up, it gives you an idea of what the gun's supposed to look like in your hand when you've got an actual gun in your hand. It's no different. I'm looking at the object. I point. What I just did was brought the gun up into the ramp.
You line of sight?
Line of sight. Instead of the pendulum method, I use the ramp method, and then I just turn my hand, and there it is. There's the gun. I just got to make sure the gun is straight in my hand, but that's a quick way to do it. Both eyes open. I'm looking at the center of the clock. There it is. Boom, I point. Point, twist, and there's the gun in my hand.
And there's nothing wrong with dry firing your weapon. I dry fire for 15, 20 minutes before I ever put a live round in the chamber.
Explain exactly what dry firing is.
Dry firing is when you've positively checked and cleared your weapon, and then you practice your draw, you practice your engagement. You pull the trigger, you do all the fundamentals of basic marksmanship, and you just fire your weapon, but without any ammunition.
No, we use, in the class, we use our snap caps.
Snap caps.
Snap caps are great, and what I would highly recommend you do is if you do get a snap cap, all a snap cap is a plastic round or a partially of a true casing with a rubber piece of rubber in it representing the bullet part of it. It's dead ammo. It doesn't work, but it gets you to manipulate your weapon and learn how to correct malfunctions, how to load your weapon, how to rack the slide, all sorts of good stuff.
But so, again, if you dry fire, you have to make sure that that weapon is clear and the ammunition is completely separate.
That's right.
Live, triple check.
Live ammo downstairs. You practice upstairs, nowhere in sight, just to ensure that no accidents happen.
That'll also improve your trigger pull and your technique as far as firing. You can focus on the muzzle of your weapon as you pull your trigger, and you can obviously see what you're doing wrong.
I want to make a comment, though, on dry firing. If you have a .22 caliber
rimfire
weapon, do not dry fire a lot. If you're going to test to see how the trigger pull is, that's fine. But dry firing a .22 long-rifled weapon is not good for the firing pin or the recess part of where the cartridge sets into. It'll start to cause a dimple in the metal. And if you have a dimple in the metal, when you go to put a round in there and fire it, the firing pin, when it hits the rim of the cartridge, may not have enough backing on the other side because now there's a dimple there, and it might not, at times, set off the round. Okay, so you want to be very careful when you're dry firing a 22 cartridge, 22 long rifle cartridge for that reason. I'm not saying don't do it. I'm just saying keep it down to a bare minimum. And I also think they even got 22 snap caps for that. Or get a shot cartridge and get the brass casing and use that. This way, at least the firing pin is hitting on a soft brass as compared to a hard metal.
Okay.
Any final points?
Just be safe out there, people. Don't leave your weapons in your vehicles for burglars and thieves to get them. You have a responsibility to control that weapon at all times. And every bullet that leaves your chamber, you are responsible for. The poor lady, 23-year-old lady, just recently was killed by a stray gunshot. It's sad, and it's so avoidable.
Avoidable, that's right. Okay, let's do this. Let's take a break, whatever it takes to get us set up for Master Cindy Keys. She's got about a six-minute segment. And so, ladies and gentlemen, when we come back from the break, we're going to go right into Alan. We'll go right into the video, because Miss Key couldn't be here. And depending on how much time is left, we'll end the show or I'll come on in the last few seconds. So we'll take it from there.
Aaron's Gun Shop and High Cap Adventures. If you've decided to carry a handgun for self-defense, you better know what you're doing. If you don't, you better learn fast. Not only fast, but thoroughly. Aaron's Gun Shop and High Cap Adventures fills the void between a Johnny wannabe and a person who has been properly trained in the proper handling and use of a firearm. Call me, Matt Bitros, at 254-697-4721 or email me at aaronsgunshop@gmail.com and set up a class or seminar to get you started on the road to proficiency with a firearm for self-defense. Go to our website, aaronsgunshop.com, and review the High Cap Adventures page. We have seminars to cover most forms of firearms training.
Call 254-697-4721 or email me at aaronsgunshop@gmail.com to get more information on how to get started with your training. The time for games is over. Reality starts now. aaronsgunshop.com.
Cindy Key here, and today we're going to talk about self-defense from a bear hug, from somebody grabbing you from behind. Now, first off, we don't want to get in that position always. If you get that feeling somebody's coming up behind, always turn and look, because you can stop them here. And all I did was straighten my hand here to stop his momentum, and then I have my strike, my dominant side.
Let's make this clear, everybody. I'm the guinea pig.
Yes, he's the guinea pig. He tried to come up behind me. I put my hand on his chest just to stop his motion, and then I have my hand techniques for his face. But let's say I'm not paying attention, and he comes and he gets a bear hug, and he's coming around. He's above my elbows. It's
bad
different.
Mistake.
Yes, it's very bad to be above my elbows. All you need to do to bring your chamber your hands, your fist to your ribs, and that's just barely lifting his arms up just a little bit. I'm going to step to the left into a horseback riding stance, not bending over, a straight back horseback riding stance, because that also brings him off balance just a little bit. From here, and I'm not going to do it hard because it would not be good for you.
No cup.
That's right. But to break this grip, I'm going to bend over and punch straight out at the same time, breaking his grip. If it doesn't break his grip all the way, then I bring my left arm, because my right arm's my dominant arm. I'll bring my right arm up so he can't come back for a choke. Then I'm going to elbow and elbow. And I'm turning around because I want to know where he is. And then I have a knee to his chest and a knee to his face. And if he's trying to do something with this arm, I know he's got a bad shoulder.
There's lots of people cheering right now.
Yeah, there is. I'm hitting him with a knee and elbows. He's bent over after that knee. My right arm, because it's my dominant arm, is on his neck. All I have to do is lean into a forward stance, and he can try to get up, but he really can't. It's kind of like holding a horse's head down on the ground. They can't get up either. And from here, I can choose what other damage I want to do, or if I want to let him come up. If he pulls his arm away, let's say I have him here, and he's pulling his arm through, I'm going to let him go, bring it forward, and then I'll just take it back the way he wants to go.
You got to watch this on video, ladies and gentlemen. It's very difficult to verbally
explain it, yes.
But once you see it on video, it'll be out there probably Tuesday, so check it out. What else?
That's it. Just basically pay attention. The main thing is chamber, bend over and punch out, and I'm bringing my left arm up to grab something, whether he's not broke or whether he's grabbing, still going to grab. I use my right arm because I'm dominant on my right side. Two elbows, one to the body, one to the head. My right forearm is up on his neck because he's bent over for me and I want him to stay bent over. Then I knee, which is going to bring him down more. I mean, there's so many other things you can do from here. But if he does try to pull this arm back, I'm going to let him go. Be like water. Let the water flow, and then I'm just going to take him back the other way and bring his arm and shoulder into an S. And that, if I do this really fast, it's going to tear him up. So we don't want to tear. We don't want to tear him up. All right. That's it for today. Have a Merry Christmas. I won't be here next Saturday.
Uh-oh. We're going to miss you.
You're going to miss me.
So tell everybody what you got going on, where you're located, how to get a hold of you, so on and so forth.
Well, we're on Highway 77, about a mile from the 7977 Junction, going towards Lexington. I do have a Christmas special right now. It's $99 for a trial membership of 2 months. My normal fees are $80 a month, so that's a pretty good deal. And my number is 254-721-2775, and you can call it or you can text it for information. Yes,
sir. Tell people about how, I mean, you've been training kids.
Yes.
There's a lot of people out there who got kids. They might want to say, hey, I'm interested in this, not for themselves, for defense on the street, but to raise your kids with discipline. Tell them about that, too.
Right. I train kids 4 and up. I actually had one that was 2.5 that paid attention better than 6-year-olds one time, but that's like very, very odd. That was like an unusual situation. But 4 and up, in fact, I have two that I have started training from the time they were 4 that are taking their advanced test this week.
That's pretty good.
One more year, they'll be junior black belts, and that's kind of unusual because I don't train test that many black belts, but I do train them. I specialize in the kids with attention deficit and hyperactivity, kids with some learning disabilities or physical disabilities. I've worked with all of them. And in martial arts, there's always something that I can find for the kids to be good at. And I can usually turn a kid around, even if they're a problem kid, within a year. But I can't do it sooner than that. I need at least a year with them. If you have a problem child, I need at least a year.
I want to back you up on that. That goes with anything. You can't just go for a month or two and then stop and expect to remember it all. You got to commit yourself. I mean, same thing with advertising. You got to do at least 3 months. You do 3 months and you say, hey, you know, here where we're at. 3 more months, you get even better. So you need to be committed and dedicated to the thing. Okay, we got about a minute. All right, Ms. Kia, thank you very much for that. Ladies and gentlemen, I got a minute left. Remember, go to aaronsgunshop.com, go to the Facebook page, like us on Facebook, go to Aaron's Gunshop YouTube channel, subscribe to the channel there. There's lots of videos. I'll have Master Cindy Key up on video probably by Tuesday. You can watch what we were doing, how she was kicking me and beating me, and she's like a cat with her playing with her food, just pawing me around. It's pretty good. Let's see what else. Until next week, keep your powder dry. And I'll tell you what, Ms. Key, I want to play this again next week since you're not going to be here, this way in case they missed something. But keep your powder dry. God bless. We'll talk to you next week. Ladies and gentlemen, one last thing before we leave. Just don't forget, February 10th, Saturday, 2 p.m., we got a license to carry class. Go to aaronsgunshop.com to the license to carry page. Sign up there. Give me a call. Give me an email, aaronsgunshop@gmail.com, and we'll get you squared away. And once again, until next week, keep your powder dry. God bless.
105.1 The Ranch is KMIL Cameron Rockdale Taylor.
Action meddling investigation. CBS News correspondent Errol Barnett says the document raises as many questions as it answers.
The FISA warrant, which only lasts for 90 days, had continually been renewed through the election campaign and even during the Trump administration, which can only be done so on the